Please turn in your Bibles to this morning's scripture, Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 25. And if you'd like to follow along using a Pew Bible, you can find the passage on page 809. So please remain standing for the reading of God's word. Matthew 4, beginning with verse 12. Now when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated.
Let's pray. Father, as we come to your word today, would you take off our blinders? Would you open our hearts and speak to us through your Holy Spirit that we might learn about our Lord Jesus and conform our lives to his? We ask in his name. Amen. 50 or 60 years ago, American corporations began developing mission statements that helped to define a company's values, their goals, and their vision. St. Andrew's has a vision statement as well. It's on the wall just outside those doors in the gathering place, helping people joyfully know Jesus Christ, love him more, and serve him better. In a few weeks, the session will gather on a retreat to review our vision document that comes out of that statement and to ask and pray that the Lord would direct us in what he'd have us focus on in moving ahead in our next ministry year, what parts of that vision that we should pull out and invest our energy and resources in. You could be praying about that gathering as we look to that. While mission and vision may have been a novel idea in the business community 50 years ago, it's certainly not a new idea. The idea of having a mission is a Christian ideal. When Jesus came to earth as a babe in a manger, he came to fulfill God's mission and vision for the world. Matthew has set the stage for the rest of his gospel in these opening four chapters that we've been looking at for a number of weeks now. And he's relayed some foundational events in the life of Jesus for us to consider. And at the end of chapter 4, where we are today, we have Matthew's account of the start of Jesus' ministry. And it's here, at the start, that we get a glimpse of Jesus' mission on earth. Given what the other gospel writers tell us, it's likely that some time has passed following the temptation in the wilderness that we talked about last week, leading up to our passage today. Matthew begins with a little bit of a geography lesson. And to help us with that, I want you to paint a picture in your mind. Imagine your GPS device, whatever that might be, and think that you've looked up directions from Columbia to Charlotte. So you've got a straight line from south to north and back again on I-77. Well, the distance and directions in that visual imagery that you have in your minds are very similar to the relationship of Judea and Galilee in Israel. Jesus grew up in Nazareth in Galilee to the north. This is Charlotte in our imaginary map. He traveled by foot 80 to 100 miles south to Judea, where John was doing his work of ministry, where he was doing his work of baptism in the Jordan River. This is the region that included also the capital city of Jerusalem. It's possible that Jesus remained in Judea, in that southern region, for a little while following his time in the wilderness. But when he heard that John had been arrested, it was time to go back to his home base in Galilee, back north. And instead of choosing to live in Nazareth, where he grew up, he moved a little further north and to the east, to the nearby town of Capernaum, which was located right on the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee isn't really a sea at all in the way that we think of seas. It's a freshwater lake. And interestingly enough, it has about the same surface area as our own Lake Murray. It had a thriving fishing industry and a number of towns along its coastline. Matthew, as he has already done several times, draws our attention to how Jesus fulfills Old Testament prophecy in his little geography lesson that he's given us. The territory that Joshua gave to the Jewish tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali was part of Galilee in Jesus' day. This region, Isaiah predicted, would be the first to see the dawn of the kingdom of light. Have you ever experienced a sunrise in a rural place with not very much light pollution? Within a matter of seconds, the light begins pouring over the horizon and begins to fill every nook and cranny of darkness that it can find. Our confession of faith today was taken from the beginning of John's gospel. It says, "In him, in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him." Jesus was the light that poured over the horizon of a spiritually dark world. And that light began shining in the villages and in the towns of Galilee. In our passage, we see three elements of this ministry in the kingdom of light. First, the message of the kingdom. Secondly, the mission of the kingdom. And thirdly, the means of proclaiming the kingdom. The message of the kingdom is found in Jesus' own words in verse 17. Look there again. He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." If you've been with us for the last few weeks, this message should sound familiar to you. You might remember that at the beginning of chapter 3, it says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Jesus picks up right where John left off. The difference being that John was anticipating the one who would usher in the kingdom of God. And Jesus was the answer to that anticipation. Mark's gospel expands for us on this message of the kingdom a little bit. In Mark 1, verse 14, it says, "Now after John was arrested," so the same event that we're talking about here in Matthew, "Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" The message to us is the same as it was to Jesus' original audience. Repent and believe the good news of Jesus Christ. Of course, Jesus had not yet died. He had not yet risen again. The gospel story was underway, but it wasn't completed. How much more responsibility do we bear as those who can look back on the finished work of Christ when we are called to repent and to believe the gospel? Jesus came to die on a cross to take away our sin, and we must respond to his sacrifice by turning away from that sin, turning away from ourselves, and turning to him as the only way to God. We must believe in faith that God raised him from the dead. This is how you can be part of God's kingdom. This is how you can become a child of God. Repent and believe the gospel. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of heaven is here. Now is the time of repentance. One day soon, the call to repentance will cease. Jesus will return in triumph, and his kingdom will be complete. And at that time, all of us will give an account before God of our response to this, his message. So what is your response? Will you respond and follow Jesus, or will you walk away from his message of repentance and continue in your sin? But to those who embrace the call of the kingdom, to those who embrace this idea of repenting and believing in the good news, Jesus gives a mission. He gives the mission of the kingdom. And this is the second point in your outline. In verse 18, Matthew tells us that Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee with a group of professional fishermen were there at hard at work mending and working with their nets. You can see it in your mind's eye, can't you? There were two sets of brothers in this scene, Andrew and Peter and James and John. We might imagine a scene where at the first sound of Jesus' voice, they went into some kind of trance and blindly left everything and followed him like robots. But it's more likely that Jesus had been preaching in their community for some time, and they were already familiar with this new rabbi. In fact, in John's gospel, we're told that Andrew had been a disciple of John the Baptist. And at his insistence, John's insistence, Andrew left him and began following Jesus and listening to his teaching. And then the apostle John tells us in his gospel that Andrew went and found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We found the Messiah." And he brought Peter to Jesus. During the early days of Jesus' ministry around the Sea of Galilee, it's likely that not a whole lot changed in the lives of these early disciples. They were probably listening to the teaching of Jesus and then going about their daily routine with work and family. But here, at this moment, in Matthew's account, something changed. Jesus authoritatively calls these men to leave their vocations, to leave their family, and to follow him, to become his full-time students. Jesus gave them the imperative, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." There were many rabbis in Jesus' day who had followers. That wasn't so unusual. But generally, the call to follow a rabbi meant studying his teaching, learning from him. And certainly, Jesus would teach his disciples a lot over the next 3 years. But did you notice his words when he called them? He didn't say, "Follow me and learn what I have to teach you." No, he said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Jesus' mission for his disciples was not simply to make them good theologians, although they would certainly become that. His mission was to make them ambassadors of the king, missionaries of the gospel, go-getters for his kingdom. And if we look to the very end of Matthew's gospel, even as we've done over the last several weeks, after their 3 years of training, Jesus commissions these fishers of men and women when he says, go. Go and make disciples of all nations and teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. What about us? Are we fishers of men and women? Are we taking all that we learn about the Lord, learn about God, his kingdom, our Savior, and are we casting our nets into the fishing holes where God has placed us? Let's back up and look at what it meant for Jesus' disciples to follow him. And consequently, I believe what it looks like for us to follow him. Well, first, following Jesus means that we're attentive to his voice. It almost seems like Andrew, Peter, James, and John were anticipating Jesus' call. It's as if their ears were already open to his voice and their hearts were ready to obey. Jesus said in John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We must practice being attentive to Jesus' voice. He speaks to us in his word. He speaks to us by the power of his Spirit. You can't hear him if you aren't reading what he said. If you're not in his word, you can't hear the voice of Jesus. Open your heart and your ears and listen to what he has to say to you in the pages of Holy Scripture. Secondly, following Jesus requires obedience. Matthew tells us they immediately left and followed him. They didn't have a conversation about it. They didn't debate whether they should go or not. They didn't hesitate. They didn't ask questions. And we too should obey his voice as we read his word, as you hear it being preached and proclaimed and taught accurately. Be obedient in the small things and trust Jesus to give you bigger things to then follow in obedience. Thirdly, following Jesus requires sacrifice and trust. Think about it. These men left their livelihoods. They left their families. I mean, whatever they were sacrificing in the way of money and relationships, they believed that Jesus could provide for them, that he would be enough, that he would be all that they needed. Ask the Lord to enable you to sacrifice your desires to his will, and then trust him. Trust that he will fill those longings, those voids with himself, because he will. Following Jesus isn't the end of a disciple's journey, it's the beginning. The end result is to embrace the mission of the kingdom, to become a fisher of men and women and children. If you belong to Jesus, if you're one of his disciples, then ask God to break your heart for the lost and to make you a fisher of men. Practice what it means to follow him. This doesn't come to us naturally. We have to work at this. We have to pray that the Lord would enable us and empower us with his Spirit. Finally, we see in our passage, in your third point, the means of ministry in the kingdom of light. Our passage lists three of those means by which Jesus accomplishes ministry in the kingdom. Those means were teaching, preaching, and healing. According to the Jewish historian Josephus, who lived a generation later after Jesus, Galilee had 204 cities with about 15,000 people in each, which comes to something around 3 million people in this region. It was a densely populated area of both Jews and Gentiles. And the darkness there was great. But for Jesus, it was an opportunity for ministry, a huge opportunity. And as Jesus' fame spread, more and more people came to him from far beyond this region. In verse 23, Matthew tells us that he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. Well, as a well-known rabbi, Jesus would be invited to preach during formal worship times in the synagogues of those towns. In those settings, there would be readings from the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, and Jesus amazed the crowds with his understanding. Not only that, but he told them that he had not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to show them he was their fulfillment. He also spent time preaching to ever-increasing crowds wherever they would gather near him. It must have been exhausting, constantly being on the go, constantly gathering multitudes around him. Next week, we'll begin exploring one such body of preaching of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus taught the people about the kingdom, about what the kingdom of God looked like. He challenged them to live out their faith in this fallen world. He had come to establish his kingdom on earth. The third means of ministry for Jesus was healing. Healing every kind of disease and suffering. Well, Jesus' kingdom will ultimately restore the perfection of the garden. So, of course, he healed everywhere he went. Because there in that restoration, there will be no more sickness. There will be no more mental anguish or demonic influence of the soul. Not only did he teach them about the way into the kingdom and what it looked like, but he also showed them the full effect of its coming into the world. The curse would be broken and Eden would be restored. Everything would be set right again. His healing of the people points us to the glorious benefits of his kingdom. Its culmination is the forgiveness of sin and the renewal of the body. And this is what he accomplished for us in his death and resurrection. His ministry of healing shows his mercy. It shows his compassion towards sinners living in a fallen world, and it points us to the hope of healing in his eternal kingdom. So in conclusion, how can we employ these means of ministry? Are we committed to showing others what the kingdom of God looks like? On the night before his crucifixion, Jesus spent time teaching his disciples many kingdom principles. In that upper room, he gave his followers a new commandment. He said that we needed to love one another as he loves us. He said, by that love for one another, that's how all men will know that you're my disciples. You can't show people what the kingdom looks like without love. Francis Schaeffer said that biblical orthodoxy without compassion is surely the ugliest thing in the world. If you have all your theology squared away, but don't weep in your heart for the lost, then you don't understand the heart of Jesus. Amen. Secondly, as his disciples, are we committed to telling others the good news of Jesus? In Romans 10, the Apostle Paul writes, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." But he goes on, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." Do you want to have beautiful feet in the eyes of the Lord? Then take the beauty of the gospel message everywhere your feet take you. And finally, we don't have to look very far, do we, to see the brokenness of the world that we live in. It's everywhere. More and more, it seems. Our world is in desperate need of healing. Jesus often said to those he healed, "Your sins have been forgiven." Their outward healing was a sign of an inward reality that Jesus was performing for them, of being healed from their sin. That's the real healing that we need. Eventually, they would experience, those that have been healed, some other physical ailment, and they would eventually die. But if they had embraced the gospel, if they had repented and believed the good news of the kingdom, their death would simply be a gateway to eternal life, to being complete and totally healed in every way. In the meantime, no doubt they spent their lives telling others what Jesus had done for them. Does your life reflect that? Are you consumed with telling others about what Jesus has done for you, how he has healed you and the effects of sin in your life? Can others see the healing of Jesus in your soul and in the way that you live? Do our families demonstrate the spiritual healing that Jesus brings to us? Jesus has entrusted us with the message of his kingdom. He's given us a mission to fulfill, and he's provided us with the means to do it. He looks at us as we're preoccupied with fixing our proverbial fishing nets, and he says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So are we ready to join him in bringing the ministry of the kingdom of light to a lost and dying world? St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church exists to help people joyfully know Jesus Christ, love him more, and serve him better. May he give us a passion and a desire to fulfill that vision and that calling, and may he bless our efforts for the sake of his kingdom. Let's pray. Father, what a glorious and beautiful calling you have given your people. And Lord, how can we, those that have been saved from our sins, those that are no longer bound in the darkness, but rather have entered into the kingdom of light, how can we do anything but praise you and worship you and celebrate this wonderful truth? So Lord, would you make us people with a message, people passionate about your mission, and people who employ the means of the gospel to reach a lost world. We ask for your grace and your enablement to do this. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.